Hola, ¿qué tal? I am Jaws Blake. This is the Painter Files podcast. This is the March episode. We made three in a row. Look at that. So I'm doing one of my walks. I do early in the morning. I try and do about 18 to 20 minutes of walking just to start off my day to get my exercise. I'm by the street. You can probably hear all the cars. I got my green shoes on, my favorite green shoes. They're a pair of Nikes. I don't know what type. A lot of people are big shoe people. They know all those things. It's never really been me or my way of being. I'm not a car person. I'm not a shoe person. I'm barely even like a video game person. I like books. I love painting. Music's fun. Cats. Take or leave dogs. But back to the shoes, I was thinking about these shoes because I've had these shoes for over 4 years now. And of course, like all shoes, they are flat on the inside. So I keep buying insoles to make them suitable for walking it. Because otherwise it's like walking on stones, which is kind of amusing because before I knew about my diabetes, I thought the shoes were causing all my foot problems, which was an interesting misunderstanding of the situation. It's just kind of how it all worked out. I keep thinking, like, am I just going to be one of those 40-something-year-old men who wears shoes that are fairly painful, minus the insoles that they put on? Or do I just want to keep buying shoes? Because for the most part, like, these are fine. They still got treads. They're fairly clean. They're not falling apart. Could probably use, like, you know, a little bit of a scrubbing. Maybe some new shoelaces. Maybe something simple. Do you normally just buy new shoes? Or do you have yours? Or do you take care of the shoes that you have? Do you kind of redo them, as it were? I always wonder this about people. It's just kind of one of those interesting little things. I don't think it's like a tidbit that gives huge insight into your personal lives or anything, but I just wonder if it's just me who has a favorite pair of shoes. Maybe that's not a thing for people, particularly for a person who's not a shoe person. I just always liked them. My green guys, as I call them. And I just use them to walk around. Nothing too special. Nothing too crazy. It's not like a sport thing or anything of that nature. I'm out in the world painting and marking and doing, etc. It's cold outside. My hair is kind of feeling a little frozen. It's interesting, though, to do these walks and find myself just reading, thinking about all the things I'm going to do for the day. Hearing all the sounds. I want you to hear something that I'm listening to right now as I'm walking. See if you can hear this. Just water from a pipe, from a drain. But it's just, it's always interesting the things you see while you walk around the world. The sounds of the environment. How they inspire. How they grab you. I didn't think this hill was this steep. Walking and talking. Sometimes very difficult. Oddly enough. This weird concept that you have enough breath control to walk uphill and keep something going and moving forward. It's an abundance of like Afropex on the ground. I don't know why. Just a strange thing to see. Sun is shining, the rhythm is sweet. Make you want to move your dancing feet. So I'm in the bathtub, soaking my back, hot water. Threw my back out, walking. I was going up some stairs. There was, I believe, laundry detergent in the stairwell on the ground. Kind of twisted my body. Didn't fall. Hurt my back. It's about a week now. I say this only because it's March 11th. In 7 days, I will be 42. And I'm rather proud of myself. Not because I hurt my back. Not because of all those things. But on a very basic level of, I'm looking at myself naked in the bathtub. And I feel like I look pretty good for 42. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. No. I think I was talking to someone earlier today. And I was saying, well, I mean, it's kind of part of being an artist for a very long time. You have recurring injuries. I remember these great artists I used to know had like eye surgeries they had to get done. And they had all these prescriptions and all this stuff. It's a hard life. But I guess this is part of the battle scars. Like I don't know how else to describe it. I didn't eat too bad growing up. But, you know, I'm diabetic now. So there's that. But I'm told it's genetic. So there really wasn't much else I could do about it, being a type 1. But it's going. It's kind of weird. I got my prescription for my new sensors. And, of course, they switched brands on me. So now I got to download a bunch of new monitoring systems so I can look at it. These last about 4 days longer than the original ones. So instead of 10 days, they're 14. So it's coming together. Tom's here right now. He's inspecting the letterbox after Mochi's used it. He's a bit of a fixer. He doesn't like the way she covers things, so then he has to cover it himself. I just hope everybody's doing okay. It's important to me. We should all be so lucky to just be enjoying our lives and this stage in our lives. I saw Dune 2, by the way. I always liked the Dune books. They were fun. They were always really fun for me. And I love the movies and the series and all that stuff. So it's fun that Alex got into it. We're talking about all these weird little things. The weird twist and the things they never really addressed. Tom's doing his thing. The weird things they've never really addressed in the series, like the God Emperor and all that stuff. So I don't know. Just thinking. Pruny fingers.
So, I have had this very strange interaction today. I was telling a story about I refer to her as my aunt, but she's actually just an older cousin. My mom's cousin. And she got a double master's when she was much younger than I am, and she got it in Spanish, and whatever she had to get to be a social worker. So she did that, and while she was working for the city, they found out she spoke Spanish, and she had a master's degree in it, and so they tried to make her like the specific liaison, the translator for legal documents and all these things for her job. She was not really okay with that because they wanted to kind of just add it to her requirement of things she had to do with her job. And she said no. She's like, if you're going to make me the person who can do both, we'll be working with people who speak English as well as translating everything in Spanish, including legal documents, I should have a special position and I should be paid for that. They said no. So she was a contracted worker for the government. And so she stepped away from them and she started her own company. And she is now retiring. She's in her 70s now. And it was just kind of an interesting thing to like tell people the story of it, because my family wanted me to make like a banner for her in Spanish, because I'm one of the few that speaks it and writes it, and for her retirement, basically. And it was cool. You know, it was a really cool story. I was excited. I was like, they weren't going to pay her, right? And so she made her own way. And I thought that was like a really inspiring story. And then I told the story to kind of a middle-aged white guy. And oh boy, did he have opinions about everything. And it was just kind of one of those things where like he was very annoyed that, I don't know, that she felt like she needed to be compensated properly for doing that job, which I didn't think was ever going to be a discussion that we were going to be having. I didn't understand that, you know, that they were going to, that was going to be this thing that became kind of this thing of contention about it. Because I thought it was, you know, she's older, she made her own way, she made a successful business, and just kept it going, and now she's retiring, you know, her eyesight's starting to go, she's a little older, she's doing her thing. But ultimately, like, she did her life her own way. I thought it was inspiring. And I was so honored to do this banner for her. And then to hear this kind of thing, this gripe, this annoyed commentary about it was just stupid, I guess is the best way I can describe it. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, what the fuck? And I was caught off guard by it. Like, I really did not expect. I was like, wow, so she wanted to learn these two things and she became like professionally good at them. And then, you know, she wasn't going to be compensated. They were gonna have her run all around the city and like help everybody with like leases and like all these things, like translating literal documents into Spanish, so to explain it to someone, possibly even like simplified, so that they could understand it. Because like, I don't know what all this stuff entails, but I assume it's a lot. I mean, that just makes sense to me that it would be. But you know, maybe I'm strange because I expect that. But anyways, I was just caught off guard by that. I was caught off guard by it. I've learned as time has gone by, there are certain sections of people who are kind of older, who are not even nearly as old as my aunt are, who just have like this like anger towards like people who they perceive to be younger than them, who demand things, people who are older than them, and typically women who demand things, people, let alone people of color, a woman of color. Oh my God! Like what a jerk, you know. And I'm censoring myself on what I'm assuming they say in their heads and sometimes out of their mouths. And I was just kind of blown away by it. I was like, this is like a happy moment about like working hard, and when you couldn't find what you wanted, you made it for yourself. And it was just the opposite of that. And it honestly made me think of, like, my own art career in a lot of ways. Like, I didn't stay with certain things because they didn't come off as stuff that was going to make me happy. Like, working for the school system wasn't going to make me happy. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not exactly floating on a cloud or anything, but I'm better off than I would have been had I just stayed in North Carolina and been an art teacher, you know? It's just, it's such a strange thing. It's, I am baffled by it. Bamboozled, even. No. I'm definitely caught off guard by it. I was not expecting, like, animosity towards it. So. I keep thinking, like, all these people who keep telling me, you know, we're seeing these interviews by, like, these civil rights leaders and by these artists and by these just, like, really incredible individuals about their time being alive for the last, you know, 60 or so years or 50 or so years, and how they tell the tales of what it was like to grow up in America and what it was like to, like, learn your history post-graduate. Because, like, you go to school, you thinking you're going to learn the things about yourself and the people around you, but instead, a lot of times, like, a library card will change the world. A bookstore will change the world. Internet access will change the world for you. I've met so many interesting artists and philosophers via basic Google searches, YouTube even. And it's very interesting to see people who fall under that same time period who generally don't know, you know, they don't know who Ruby Bridges is. They don't know who Rosa Parks was. They don't know, you know, their knowledge of most things are maybe Malcolm X, maybe, probably not. Martin Luther King, definitely. And that might be primarily what they know. Like, they don't know anything about, they don't even know, you know, beyond the name, who Frederick Douglass was. They know who Obama was. They know who Hillary Clinton is, you know. But it's always just surprising to me. Like, there's all these great kind of interesting characters throughout history who have this great bit of knowledge to partake. And I genuinely, truly believe, like, some people just, they never picked up on that stuff. They are caught completely off guard by the fact that, one, these people are alive today still, or that they just died, you know? They just passed away. It wasn't hundreds of years ago. It was 40, 50, 60 years ago. And it's just, it's very interesting. I had a discussion with someone who was generally surprised that young people during the civil rights era of America remembered what it was like to be alive pre-civil rights. And I'm like, well, I mean, there's Ruby Bridges, and she was like a little girl, and she's a grown professor woman now, still working, still doing. I think she's 68 years old. She's like 65 or 68. And it was just, it was deeply shocking to me. Like, how little and how detached people felt from it, who were alive during it, you know? It was so strange and so obscene in a way, I don't know. Absurd, maybe absurd's a better word. Obscene might not be the right word. Absurd, it felt absurd, it felt almost mocking that these things just didn't come about. And I mean, I blame, probably gonna blame public education on that, but I don't know. I figure if you're in your 60s and whatnot, like, you should probably know these things by now. You live in a state that has books and education and all this stuff. I worry about the book bans because I'm like, well, I mean, it feels like that's just a revolving door of ignorance in a lot of ways. Like, how are people going to get to learn these things if the information is not readily available? Like, there has to be some form of, like, hey, check this out, curiosity. And then moving forward of, I've heard the name James Baldwin, but I've never read anything by that. I've heard the name Ginsberg, but I've never read anything by that. You know, I've heard of this person called Sylvia Plath, and I don't know who that is. These people who sing the songs of revolution and, like, the world changing and stuff. Gil Scott-Heron, and, you know, I just think, where will they find this information if it's so well hidden from them? Like, how do we reattach this information for people? How do we get it closer to the worlds in which it needs to circle to find itself? You know?
Look at this. So, I want to talk to you about academia. I feel like a lot of time doesn't really get spent talking about it so much anymore. I used to talk about art school all the time. I remember being in art school, and there was very little diversity. And that was with, you know, all the check marks and everything as far as, like, affirmative action and whatnot. Sadly, a lot of people who were coming from my background did not have the best teachers and whatnot to help kind of push them in the direction of, hey, you could be an artist. Like, I remember my guidance counselor told me I should be a mechanic. Even though I said I wanted to be an artist, she was like, yeah, but you got to make money. You should be a mechanic. And, you know, I looked at some of these other kids who were there, and they were much wealthier and typically white. And it was hard. I mean, I ended up getting a scholarship to go, thankfully, a minority scholarship. And it was an interesting experience, to say the least. I met a lot of cool people. I made friends for life. I did all these things. But if it hadn't been for that minority scholarship, I don't think I would have been able to go. Honestly, I know I wouldn't have been able to go. And I worry sometimes when people find, you know, that affirmative action ended for colleges, college admission and all that stuff, that they're under the impression that, like, we are better people than we are. They refuse to accept the factor that, like, these things oftentimes came down as, like, laws that were decided for Americans, not voted on by Americans, because, you know, those who read or those who lived through it, America's kind of been shit for a while. They've got, you know, racism and whatnot, and sexism and classism and all these things. So it's always weird to see people who see it now that it's gone away and go, well, you know, now people are going to step up and prove that, you know, they didn't need it. They were going to be this way. And I was like, I fear for my future children, their ability to lean harder into their passions and follow their dreams and what they want to be, because it will be more difficult. I don't trust that these people are going to just make good decisions for the betterment of people and their educations. I think it's going to probably be more divided, or go back to being as divided. Not quite as divided as it was, but it'll be closer to what it was than it was 10 years ago. And that makes me sad. Makes me angry too, but it makes me sad. I'm blown away by the concept that people truly believe, because, like, you don't live in a state that you consider to be racist or sexist or xenophobic or, I don't know, there's so many of them at this point. There's so many ways to describe hate. That these people in power aren't going to just flex their muscles and decide, you know, I don't want your gay student to come to my school. I don't want your trans student to come to my school. I want your black student to come to my school. I want your immigrant student to come to my school. I don't want your Hispanic student, your Asian student, these women, you know, all these things. It's just kind of perplexing. And I think people oftentimes, well, not people, I can think of quite a few men I know who don't seem to grasp that injustices done across the country are injustices that we who would be affected by them fear happening around all of us. It's not just, you know, it's not just don't go to Tennessee. It's, you know, Tennessee is close enough to Maryland where they sneak improprieties and all these issues happen. Hi, Mochi. It's just weird. It's weird to see. I don't want people to be afraid. I want people to be cheerful, be happy, and feel like they can spread their wings. But I feel like there is a certain aspect of, like, dumb hopefulness. Like, there's a reason why all these things have made into laws of the land at the time. Because the people who were supposed to be making those decisions weren't good enough to make them. I'm fearful for these, the next generation, basically. Yeah, I'm fearful for myself. I mean, I want grants, I want to do all this stuff, and that stuff affects me also. So, I'm annoyed by the Keith Overmans and the, what's his name? Bill Maher's of the world, who have a very, like, positive outlook, white man syndrome, but also don't, like, acknowledge all the other shit that's going on. And the shit is the history of America. It made up the parts that you stand next to. You can't really forget all that. You definitely can't treat it like they're going to make good choices. I don't believe that. I don't know. Just thinking. With my cup of matcha. And mochi. So like I said, I watched Dune 2 a couple weeks ago. Well, last week. Yeah, last week. With Alec and her family. And I've been having these very weird dreams. It was a good movie. I really liked it. Like, so much. I've always loved the Dune books and the TV series and the movies and all that stuff. So, it was a lot of fun. We kept making jokes about how Christopher Walken was going to Christopher Walken all his lines. Lots of the rundown edited words and phrases in a very Christopher Walken way. Or a very SNL type of cowbell type of things, but instead saying sandworms. I've got a fever, and the one thing I need is sandworms, you know, and so what, so much and so far. I won't do any more impressions, I promise. But it was really great. I really loved it. I have been having these crazy-ass dreams, though. I keep dreaming that I'm sitting in a room, and I'm on a desk, but I'm not on the desk. I'm in a suitcase that is open, and I'm sitting in it like a terrarium, looking up, taking in everything. I'm saying words, but I'm reading them as they're coming out of my mouth. and everything just looks big. Like huge. I can't feel temperature in my dreams, but it appears I think it's hot, like a white hot room. I don't know what it means. I think in a lot of ways, this is like me trying to start a more professional version of myself in some cases. Not to say that I'm going to straighten up or anything, but it's more along the lines of like, this year at 42, I want to make my art more 60-40 of my life rather than 50-50 like I had been doing for years before. Maybe 70-30. I want to transition into primarily doing my art in the next couple of years, and only that. I want to get away from all these ridiculous people and their problems. So I think maybe that's what that's about. I'm studying my words. I'm looking at legal papers and for grants and all that stuff. I've been slacking on that, but I'm going to get back to it. I'm just trying to figure it all out. But yeah, Dune 2, go check it out. It's good. So, Galados, we have not meditated in a really long time. I know I've needed to. I assume you have also. I want you to breathe in deep. I'm a little congested, so give me a moment. So you're going to work on your breathing. You're going to focus on just taking your breath in and then letting it out. I want you to just kind of look out a window, maybe see a bird. Imagine what that feels like to just hop around on the ground and just feel connected to the vibrations. Feel the wind and just kind of center yourself in that aspect. Find yourself kind of weightless. Just breathe. There you go. All right. Sit with that for a little bit. I'll see you later. So now that I've gotten all the negative stuff out of the way, and I've meditated, and I've had a chance to see the world at a bit of a happier kind of aspect, let me tell you all the good news that's going on. I've been super busy this year with so many commissions. It's a great feeling. I'm getting to the point now with my art that people are reaching out, and they're asking me to do, like, private projects and public projects and everything. It's just exciting, you know? You work really hard and you start to see yourself getting opportunities you never really imagined before. And I love that. I really do. I have found it. Jeez, these cars are low. I have found it that I made all these stickers and stuff. And I put them up around town. All the towns. And I do find it funny. Someone keeps scraping them off, and a friend of mine told me years ago that there are people who go around and they collect stickers. They just do it. They collect them and they put them in little scrapbooks and they do all this stuff. And I like to think that's what's going on, just because it's strange to see some of them that have been there for a long time that were beside mine that are still there, and then mine are being pulled, which feels kind of weird. At first I was like, well, I don't see what somebody has a beef against me. And then I looked at it and I was like, well, maybe they're collecting them. Maybe they're fun. They're fun little pieces, you know? It's just kind of interesting how it all kind of comes and works together. But, you know, I've been working on my abstracts. My paintings in between paintings, as I refer to them a lot of times. I like to kind of work on, like, brain-clearing exercises, in a way. The ability to make colors and patterns and that are more in tune with, like, the emotions I'm feeling, as opposed to a clear cutout image in my mind. So that's fun. On a more serious note, I've been working on this one giant painting that has, in a lot of ways, been kicking my ass. But I don't mind getting my ass kicked every once in a while by a good painting. And I think it's a good painting. I've been looking at the news and trying to mostly figure out what I was going to do with just everything that I'm kind of taking in. And with the things I'm taking in, with all the conflicts and whatnot going on in the Middle East, I felt I wanted to make a piece in response. So I'm working on that. I'm a little nervous sometimes. I oftentimes feel myself a little afraid of some type of retribution by social media and whatnot. A lot of shadow banning and stuff like that. But I thought about it. And one of the things I love about being an artist is you kind of sometimes just have to be fearless. You have to take chances and just go for it. Sometimes people will love what you do. Sometimes they might hate it. And that's okay. It is a requirement that you simply just let it out and find your way and your path. And that's what I'm doing. Also avoiding a bus that's backing up. But it just feels important, you know? It's important to find what drives you, what moves you. I've also got another commission I'm working on, which will be fun. It's kind of like a fan art piece for a friend. And I feel pretty happy about that. I watched a few things. It's revolving around kind of an anime. So I'm going to be doing a Sailor Moon Scouts thing, which I've never done before. But I think I can do pretty well with it. I think it'll be fun. So, mostly, that's kind of where I'm working on. I'm going to be 42 on Monday. It is currently Wednesday. So, I'm excited. I'm trying to work on walking and moving around more each day. I feel pretty successful at that. But yeah, I just wanted you to know, I'm doing okay. Thank you, Galatas. I just want to say thank you to everyone. You all do such wonderful things for me. Thank you to my Patreon, thank you to YouTube, thank you to my Instagram people, thank you to the people who follow me on my website. Thank you to Yasutomi Inc. Thank you to Arteza. Thank you to Artisan Wellness Project. It's a great episode. I just want to tell you, you're wonderful. So, thank you. See you next month. Painter out. Ciao.